Introduce our guest who will give us more insights. He is Lee Kian Soon, Chief Executive Officer and Fund Manager at Astral Asset Management. Now, Kian Soon, tell us, were you watching the parade yesterday, and which part did you enjoy the most?
Yes, I was watching the parade yesterday morning, and I definitely enjoyed myself watching the exhibition of the military equipment like the Dongfeng missile launchers and the usual air bombers. And what caught my eyes are the new weapons that was on display, the Chengdu J-20 5th generation stealth aircraft, as well as the Dongfeng 100 supersonic cruise missile launchers.
Right, indeed. It was very impressive to look at, and I guess it shows how much economic progress China has made.
Definitely. You see, as China celebrates its 70th anniversary of the founding of PRC on 1st of October, we couldn't help but think about how fast the economy has developed, in particular at an incredible pace in the last 40 years. I think today China's GDP is ranked second to the United States and has surpassed global economic powers of Japan and Germany. And we've applied the rule of 72 for China's economic development in the past 40 years. It has actually doubled every 7 years. This economic prosperity has also brought more than 850 million people out of extreme poverty in China, according to the World Bank. And its poverty rate has plunged from 88% in 1981 to less than 1% in 2015.
So if you consider all that, just how large is the potential for its consumer market?
China is expected to overtake the United States to become the world's largest consumption market within the next 3 years. As income and wealth grow, and facilitated by the rapid development of e-commerce. Today, China accounted for more than 40% of global mobile phone sales, 45% of semiconductor consumption, as well as 65% of battery electric vehicle sales. Its luxury spending is also attracting significant attention, given that Chinese shoppers are expected to spend a staggering US $180 billion on luxury goods by 2025. Accounting again for more than 40% of global luxury goods consumption. In a report, it was highlighted that 3/4 of GDP growth are actually from China's domestic consumption. Hence, domestic consumption will be a key driver for China's economy and for its 6% GDP target growth. Even with the current trade war, China achieved retail sales of around 7.5% to 9.8% year-on-year growth this year, which is still in a very healthy growth range. And plus the fact that we have favorable policies like VAT reduction and income tax cut, this will continue to drive retail spending.
So how much of a challenge does the US-China trade tension pose, considering all that? I mean, is China big enough to sustain itself?
So the ongoing trade tensions with tariff imposed on most goods on both sides have caused significant economic strains for both countries, as well as countries that are highly dependent on trade. China and US will, however, weather this better, as both have a significant large domestic consumer markets. In fact, if you look at China, only 9% of its finished output is actually exported. However, we saw that China's manufacturing has already taken a hit as global supply chain is beginning to shift and adapt to the trade tensions. This created a challenge for the manufacturers and affects the overall market sentiment.
Well, while we're talking about U.S.-China trade tensions, it looks like the U.S. is not doing too well because U.S. factory activity contracted for the second straight month and it's fallen to its lowest level in a decade. So what does this mean for global manufacturing?
So last evening, ISM reported that its index of national factory activity fell to 47.8, the lowest reading since June 2009. I think this contraction of U.S. factory activity is anticipated as prolonged trade tensions have affected business sentiments dramatically. We have seen the initial impact affecting China manufacturing, but in the past few months, I think we are beginning to see a contagion. If you look at Europe, European PMI figures have also indicated that the manufacturing level across the Eurozone has reached the lowest level since 2012. Recent Japan and Korea trade conflicts have added fuel to the overall bleak environment as well.
So how is this going to impact Singapore and our manufacturing sector?
EDB reported that last week, Singapore's manufacturing output actually declined 8% year-on-year in August on the back of sharp falls in electronics and precision engineering output. as the global manufacturing sector spirals downwards, Singapore PMI also experienced 4 consecutive months of contraction from April to August this year. Trade tensions have definitely hit Singaporeans' manufacturing sector hard as well as our economy. In the September, manufacturing data will be critical for us, as it will be pivotal for the Singapore economy to avoid a technical recession. I think it's still too early to call a bottoms up for this round of manufacturing decline, as orders book continue to be weak and the macro environment remains fairly uncertain.
Now, those dismal U.S. factory numbers that you mentioned, they're also affecting Wall Street, and the Dow and the S&P 500 were seeing their worst day in more than 5 weeks. So what's your outlook for U.S. equities?
I think last evening after the ISM figures was reported, we saw some volatility in the U.S. markets with all three key indices hit by more than a percent decline. I think the U.S. equities outlook will be highly dependent on a few key developments this month. First, the U.S.-China trade negotiations, as investors will be looking out for developments when officials from both sides meet in Washington to resume the trade talks after the Golden Week. As the stalemate remains between hope and gloom, any signs of a deal may trigger off a market rally and vice versa. Secondly, if the Fed cut rates when FOMC meets end of this month, the probability of another rate cut has increased from 40 to 60% after last evening. It will actually give a boost to the market. I think last but not least, Donald Trump himself. As the impeachment inquiry begins, any form of negative sensational political developments will definitely have a significant impact on the U.S. markets.
And what's your outlook for the Chinese and Hong Kong stock market? Where are the opportunities for investors?
I think after a dramatic 25% plunge in 2018, the Shanghai Composite Index was up about 17% year-to-date, but has not gone back to the peak in 2018. I think today, Shanghai is trading at a respectably 14 times PE, which is fairly low. For the Hong Kong markets, it also fell 14% in 2018, and it was recovering well in 2019 in the range of 10% until the prevailing protests started. It was a perfect storm for Hong Kong markets. So until 1st October, Hang Seng is up around 1% and trading at around 10 times PE. If you look at the Hang Seng Index presently, it's trading at a minus 1 standard deviation from the long-term average of 14 times. From the 1970s till now, over a period of more than 550 months, only 60 months are trading at this low level, or, for example, the 1987 stock crash, Asia financial crisis, the SARS, and the global financial crisis. Our funds see opportunities in stocks that are listed in Hong Kong with very low and attractive valuations, but with no revenue exposure to Hong Kong at all. Rather, most of these are Chinese companies that have solid business and financials that are banking on the domestic consumption of China.
All right, thanks very much for your insights. We've been speaking with Lee Kian Soon. He is Chief Executive Officer and Fund Manager of Astral Asset Management. Before making any